Canadian hockey great and part-time philosopher P.K. Subban once said, "Life is a chess match. Every decision you make has a consequence." I am Rob West. Many of the decisions we make affect us far into the future, especially investing decisions. Today, I'll talk with Mark Biller about a kind of decision-making that yields the best results. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's great to have Mark Biller back with us today. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, where they've made a science out of decision making. Sound Mind Investing is also an underwriter of this program. Mark, it is great to have you with us again.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be back with you.
Mark, we often think of investing decisions as perhaps good or bad, but you want to talk about something called inside-out decision-making. So why don't we begin there?
Yeah, well, Rob, this starts with a different way of thinking about how we make investment decisions. So at SMI, we try to teach our members that they can make most of their investing decisions really with little regard for what's happening right now in the investment markets. Now, I realize in the middle of a bear market, that sounds pretty out there, but I'll lay out our case and let your listeners decide.
Okay, fair enough. Well, the floor is yours, Mark Biller.
Thanks. Well, to start out, we ask the question, where do investment decisions come from for most investors? So for many people, their starting point is the outside world. That's current events, what the market's doing, maybe articles they're reading, expert recommendations they're hearing on TV. We can kind of sum up all of that to say that most investor decisions are guided primarily by outside considerations. So as these investors are responding to this stream of data and opinions that's constantly coming at them, their personal inside financial world begins to take shape. But it's important to recognize that their thinking is really outside in, meaning that it's this stream of outside information that's really driving their thinking and their actions. And the fact that most people invest this way is largely why we see so much herd behavior in the markets, because everybody's reacting to the same information, the same news flow, and it's kind of like those giant flocks of birds that you watch following each other around up in the sky.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, that decision-making is really only as good as the outside information that's coming in, right?
That's exactly right. Now, for another group of investors, and this is how we're trying to help our SMI members think, the starting point of their decision-making is inside information. So with this model, the focus is on a person's own financial needs, their own personalized long-term strategy that's designed to meet those needs. So for this group, their buy and sell decisions are based on what's going to be required to make sure that their financial holdings are in line with this long-term game plan. So contrast these two, Rob. As opposed to the outside-in model that we started with, this is inside-out thinking, where our decision-making is primarily shaped by inside considerations. And if you have this kind of a model, it really makes what the market is doing right now and what the experts are saying pretty irrelevant. The outside world of investment experts really only comes into the picture when a person needs assistance in executing the decisions they've already decided to make that are in alignment with their long-term plan.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I guess that means from a trusted financial advisor.
Yeah, that's right. So for some, that would mean finding a certified Kingdom advisor at moneywise.org. Or in the case of our SMI members, they're just following the specific strategy instructions each month at soundmindinvesting.org. But either way, I'm encouraging listeners to be this type of inside-out thinker. In other words, you want to make your investing decisions the way you make other consumer purchasing decisions. We can probably talk about that a little bit on the other side.
Yeah, that sounds good. My dad used to say, an X is a has-been and a spurt is a drip under pressure. So just be careful about listening to experts. Oh, boy. Well, Mark, a lot to cover today, and this is a great article we're going to continue talking about just around the corner. It's called Make Sure Your Investment Decision-Making is Inside Out. You'll find it at soundmindinvesting.org. Mark Biller with us today. More to come just around the corner. Stick around.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. This is not a time to be worrying, yet 73% of Christians are worrying. I know it seems okay because everyone's doing it. There's a lot of bad stuff going on right now. It's only natural to worry, but that doesn't make it spiritual. When you're worrying, you're not faithing, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. When you're worrying, you're telling God you don't trust Him. James 1 calls that being double-minded, unstable, and unable to expect God to answer your prayers. That's not good. Here's the good. You can defeat fear with effortless faith. In fact, I've written a book on it called Ignite Your Life, which explains how living without fear ignites your life. And it's absolutely effortless when you live according to Romans 8:28, where God promised to make everything in your life work for good if you love Him and live your life for His purpose, to move everyone every day closer to Jesus. And that, the rest of the story. If you need help sharing your faith, go to igniteamerica.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
God can use persecution to strengthen the church and individuals within it.
Persecution is granted to us. Don't miss this. What an honor to be chosen to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to die like the thief beside Him, so that men enslaved to sin can see the gospel written in our flesh and believe.
Gain more perspective on persecution with Jordan Chambly's article, The Victorious Persecuted Church, in the Fall 21 issue of Engage Magazine, or visit EngageMagazine.net.
Your kids are grown and you're in a new stage of life. It's a challenging adjustment, but author Dr. Jim Burns says now is the time to make a fresh start. And his new book, Finding Joy in the Empty Nest, will equip you with practical biblical advice. Learn to manage big issues like aging parents, managing a fixed income, or how to help your children. Request your copy of Finding Joy in the Empty Nest with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Mark Biller, executive editor at soundmindinvesting.org, an underwriter of this program, and good friends that have served our listeners for a long time. We've got some phone lines open today. If you have an investing question related to the markets or your retirement, your long-term investment savings, whatever's on your mind today, question for Mark Biller today at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're talking today about making inside-out decisions. What if you were to make investment decisions with little regard for what's happening in the investment markets? Well, that would be a breath of fresh air. It's this idea that we don't want to take our cues from anything other than what our own needs are and our personalized long-term strategy to meet those needs. And Mark, this is really how we approach every other buying decision, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think an example here will really help people to see this, Rob. So, you know, let's think of a young family. Your family's grown to the point where you need a minivan to haul everybody around. All so that person shouldn't be watching TV and seeing an advertisement that says, hey, this sporty little convertible is hot right now and running out and buying the convertible instead of the minivan that they need just because somebody on TV made a compelling case that convertibles are great. And yet right. we do that a lot in the financial realm, and it's kind of foolish to let those outside considerations influence our thinking when we really need to be focused on what do I need? What does my plan call for?
Yeah, and that's pretty intuitive, and I guess a lot of folks might even say that's pretty obvious to us.
Yeah, it is, and it should be, and yet we see all the time that people have a lot of trouble applying that mindset to investing decisions. So, you know, just this year, a lot of investors have really been whipped around by the market's volatility. They sell when the market is down big, and then when the market bounces back, they think, oh man, I blew it, I missed it, they buy back in. And so they're constantly on the wrong side of things. How much better to be guided by a well-defined strategy instead of being whipped around and trying to figure out from the what the experts are saying on TV what's going to happen next?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get pretty specific here. I know you take a deeper dive into this in the article we're referencing. What should an inside-out investor be thinking about before making investment decisions right now?
Yeah. So we've got a few questions in the article. I'll just run through some of those real quickly. So the first one is your financial foundation rock solid? In other words, am I debt-free? Is my emergency savings fund sufficient? And if it isn't, then a person may need to sell some stock or at least pause contributions into their 401k plan for a little while in order to repair those cracks in their foundation. That's the type of inside-out thinking we're talking about. Another question would be, are my earlier assumptions about my lifetime earnings, my retirement and lifestyle goals, health needs, all that kind of stuff, are those assumptions still on track? And if you're in doubt on that, it's a smart idea to rerun those numbers periodically. Those results, which are personal to you, could dictate the type of inside-out change to a person's portfolio mix, you know, between stocks and bonds and maybe other holdings. So that's another example. A third question would be, am I using appropriate investing strategies that reflect my emotional tolerance of risk? And this market may have revealed some issues there where people are taking on too much risk. You know, ideally, you want to build a portfolio that you can ride through a bear market like this without feeling like you've got to make real big adjustments.
Yeah.
And then the last one I would throw out there, Rob, is, am I meeting my giving goals? And if not, that could be a reason, an inside-out type of reason, why I might want to sell some investment holdings in order to fund additional giving. So the key here, Rob, what we're trying to get at is really focusing on internals. All these questions are about personal needs and circumstances instead of, you know, how much is the market down? What do I think it's going to do over the next 6 months? You know, those sorts of considerations.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And again, if you want to revisit those questions or read this entire article, you can do that at soundmindinvesting.org. The article is entitled, Make Sure Your Investment Decision-Making is Inside Out. All right, while we have Mark with us today, we want to take your investing questions, at least until the bottom of the hour. Whatever's on your mind today with regard to the market, your portfolio, perhaps where all of this is headed, you can reach us at 800-525-7000. We have some lines open. Let's begin in Texas. Hey, Joe, what can we do for you today, sir?
Hey, great. Thanks for taking the call. Wife and I don't have much setback, but what we do have, you know, we had in the market, and it's taken obviously a pretty big plunge recently. And I was curious what you thought about I-bonds. I think they're inflation adjusted. Obviously, cash is losing money, so I don't think putting in cash makes sense. But
yeah, quick question, Joe. What type of account is this in? Is it a retirement account or a taxable account?
Yeah, it's a Roth.
Okay,
Roth IRA.
And you said it's down about how much?
26%.
Okay, and you are retired?
Well, I'm self-employed, so I probably will never retire.
I see. Okay, very good. Excellent. And how much is in the portfolio, roughly?
It had 39. It's down like to 29.
Okay. Mark, money in a Roth that's down. What are your thoughts on I-bonds?
Yeah, well, I love I-bonds. Those are inflation-adjusted treasury bonds, and they are paying a really attractive rate of interest. We've discussed and we've written some articles about how they are the best deal in the bond world right now, as far as we're concerned. Unfortunately for Joe, in this case, I-bonds can't be held in an IRA. They need to be in a taxable account, and that's because you can only purchase I-bonds directly through an account with the U.S. Treasury. So if you have taxable money, you know, stuff that's in a regular bank account or in savings, that type of thing, then it's quite easy to set up an account with treasurydirect.gov, I believe it is, and buy I-bonds that way. But you can't buy them through an IRA, which is unfortunate, or through a 401k. So that's one of the limitations on those. Rob, any other thoughts?
Well,
there?
No, I completely concur there. Obviously, you've got to hold them for a year, but you're exactly right on that. Mark, we do hear from folks who say, well, my Roth is performing so poorly, maybe I should pull the money out. I can take out my original contributions tax-free, and then I could deploy it in the I-bond. You know, I would tend to say that's short-sighted, even though the rate is very attractive right now. We think as inflation comes down and the Fed is, you know, squarely focused on that, that return will diminish, and then you're left outside of that Roth where you've given up the tax-free growth, the ability to avoid the RMD. Would you agree with all that thinking?
Yeah, I really do. I would definitely prioritize that tax-free treatment within the Roth over the short-term yield advantage of the I-bond.
Yeah. So if you've got money outside, Joe, by all means, take advantage, up to $10,000 per person per calendar year, treasurydirect.gov. You've got to hold them for at least a year, but a great rate. But with that Roth money, I'd let that recover. Just sit tight. It will come back. Mark Biller with us. Much more to come just around the corner. We'll be right back.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. With me today, Mark Biller, executive editor at soundmindinvesting.org and underwriter of this program. We're talking about making investment decisions based on your needs, goals, and objectives, not outside forces. And Mark, before we head back to the phones, you know, the other thing that strikes me here is that this, as a believer, allows you to make decisions not just on your risk tolerance and, you know, your stage of life, but also your deeply held values and convictions as a Christian, which may result in, as you said, prioritizing giving. It may involve you setting a financial finish line with regard to accumulation, because that's just what you feel like the Lord would have you to do. This allows you to tailor your investing to even your values. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it certainly does. And, you know, there are a lot of these types of considerations, like you've mentioned a few, Rob, where we as Christians do want to think differently. You know, that shouldn't be a big surprise. The Bible tells us all the time that we're to be transformed in our thinking, and that implies that we should be thinking differently than the way the world does. And so how do we tangibly do that and make those types of applications is one of the big things that SoundMind Investing has been trying to unpack for Christian investors over the last 30 years. Yeah. And that's a big focus of what we write about and discuss with our members quite a bit.
Well, I know it is. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-525-7000 to Georgia. Judith, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Ron, I'll be 83 next month, and I got my statement Friday. I have municipal bonds, and they went down $20,000. My IRA went down $30,000. And my question is, should I withdraw my money from my IRA?
Yeah, a couple of questions, Judith, and I know that can be stressful, so I'm sorry to hear that. What is the value of that portfolio in total today, roughly?
Both of them?
Yeah, you said you were down $30,000, but on what amount?
Oh, it was $400,000.
Okay.
Now it's down to $370,000.
Okay.
And the bond thing is down from around $4,000 down to $380,000.
Okay. And are you pulling money out of either of these accounts to live on?
Yes, sir. On the bond money, I am, and then at the end of the year, I take my IRA distribution.
Okay.
And I haven't had to use that yet, but
okay.
I'm a widow, and it's a, you know, really a big concern.
Yes, ma'am. If I understand correctly, you have two portfolios, one at around 370 today and one at around 380, or am I missing something?
No, yes, sir. That's right.
Okay, very good. But the 370, you're leaving that alone, and then the 380 is the bond portfolio, and you're pulling income out of that?
Yes, sir. I use that to pay, you know, keep up with everything, pay my taxes and my insurance and stuff
like
that.
Okay, very good. And what do you pull out per month, roughly?
Like quarterly, I'll get a couple $1,000s.
Okay, yeah, so not a whole lot. Mark, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, Judith, I might approach this a little differently than how you may have thought about it before, but when I'm hearing all of this, the things that stand out to me is that the portfolio is roughly evenly balanced, it sounds like, between stocks and bonds. And that's not an inappropriate thing for an early retiree. But it also tells me that there could be a little bit of room to maybe make that portfolio a little bit more conservative over time if the market volatility is stressful for you. And the easiest way to do that without making big adjustments, which is kind of what we want to avoid in the middle of a market downturn, would be to favor taking the distributions out of the stock-heavy account right now. Now, some people would say, well, but that has more of potential to bounce back more strongly on the other side of this, and this is true. But if you need to take distributions and want to make the overall portfolio incrementally more conservative, the way to do that would be to leave the bonds alone and reduce the stock account by taking the required distributions from that side. Rob, I'm sure you've got some thoughts on this as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And I think the key is just to recognize you're doing the right things here, Judith. And, you know, even though the portfolio is down, these are unrealized losses that we would expect to recover. Historically speaking, the market will recover well ahead of the economy because, remember, it looks out 6 months or more. The good news is you're not having to pull a whole lot of out of these accounts, which means you have the ability to take the significant assets that you've accumulated over your life, you and your husband, and allow those to do what they need to do, which unfortunately we just happen to be in one of those periods of time where the market is down, even though over the last dozen years it's been, you know, very strong on the upside. So I think the good news is you're not telling me you're having to pull, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 a month out of this thing to live. You're just pulling a couple of thousand a year and you don't even really need your RMD. So I think at this point, to Mark's point, big ideas, let it recover, but perhaps prioritizing the distributions or the withdrawals from the stock portion would over time help you reduce your overall stock exposure, even though we don't want to make big changes right now while we're waiting for this market to recover. But what are your thoughts on that?
Are you saying go ahead and take the distribution now instead of waiting until the first of the year?
No, ma'am. I would let that recover as long as you can. But if you when you're ready to take a distribution, Mark was just saying prioritize the stock portion over the bonds so you can, over time, begin reduce your exposure to stocks, which would bring more, a more conservative approach and less volatility.
Okay.
Okay. But listen, you hang in there. I know this is tough. If it would help, if you don't have an advisor, that would be another step to take, somebody who could really walk alongside you in this process. You hang on the line. We'll talk a little bit more off the air and just make sure we have your questions answered and we get you pointed in the right direction. Stay right there, Judith. Mark, great to have you with us today, my friend.
Thanks, Rob. Always glad to be with you.
All right. Make sure your investment decision is inside out at soundmindinvesting.org. We'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Imagine if you could sit down with Jesus for a cup of coffee. Just you and Jesus face to face. What do you think he'd say to you? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress continues his brand new series called 18 Minutes with Jesus. Discover what Jesus taught about the things that matter most in life. This week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at InvestEventide.com. That's InvestEventide.com.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Always fun to have Mark Biller along with us today as he challenges our thinking in a good way, leading us toward making decisions that are right for us, not driven by outside factors. Again, you can learn more at soundmindinvesting.org. All right, we're going to turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial this segment. And then in our final segment of the broadcast, actually a bit more on the market. We'll focus more on the economy, though, with our friend Bob Dahl, who stops by each week to give us his market insights as a chief investment officer and a veteran on Wall Street, a contributor to Fox Business. We always appreciate Bob's insights on a market that has been pretty wild in the last couple of weeks. That certainly continues today, actually with green across the board in most of the major indexes. Bob Dahl will be with us in just a little while. All right, back to the phones. We go to Panama City, Florida. I was just there over fall break. Lynn, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Hi, Rob. I have a 2011 Kia Rio. It's about 133,000 miles. And I had it checked on Kelley Blue Book. So it's about $1,300, the value of it. It's in the shop right now. It's going to cost around $5,000 for some repairs. So my question, do I keep putting money into the vehicle or do I get another vehicle? And if I was to get another vehicle, I have probably about $11,000 to put on another one. And then also, the rest of the money, should I take out of my 401k or should I borrow the money?
Yeah, very good. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I know that's stressful. I'm glad you've done your homework, Lynn. You've looked up the value of the car in Kelley Blue Book. You will hear a rule of thumb, and that is that you should not repair a vehicle when the cost is going to exceed anything beyond half of the vehicle's value. Now, in your case, it's significantly more than 100% of the value. With your car worth $1,300, you need $5,000 in repairs. That would be a pretty clear indicator that this is not a car worth putting that much money into. Now, as you probably know, it's not the best time to buy a car, new or used, just because car prices are so high. So what are your options? Well, option one is go ahead with the purchase. If you can find the car you want, we are seeing a bit of a cooling in the car market as some of the inventories return and as we see a softening in the economy, but it's still not a great time. I'm glad to hear you've got some savings, significant savings that allow you to make a pretty big dent in that car purchase, even though prices are up. I would not pull that money out of the 401k. I'd let that money continue to grow so you don't create a taxable event or borrow from it and then have to, you know, pay the tax if for some reason you were to separate from the company. I'd let that money continue to grow, especially with a market like we're in right now where you probably had some losses that are unrealized. We don't want to make those realized. So as long as you can cover the debt service in your budget, and you're going to need to check that pretty closely, and you shop this around with multiple lenders, I'd probably borrow for the remaining portion. Kind of the other alternative would be if there's a few repairs you can do just to get this back up and running, you know, that buys you 6 months or so, that would be great. A lot of times that's not possible. You either kind of have to say, listen, I'm done and take it and scrap it, or I'm going to do the whole thing. And I think just given the extensive nature of the repairs versus the value of this car, that just doesn't make sense. So give me your thoughts on all that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I've been asking around a lot of people and they're telling me the same thing as far as the value of the car, and you know, I just didn't want to have another payment, but yeah, that makes sense because yeah, I could be putting $5,000 into a better vehicle. Now, yeah. Would you suggest maybe a used vehicle, maybe something that wouldn't cost as much, or yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I would. You know, I typically, I mean, this has been an unusual period because even though new car prices are high, used car prices are even higher. And yet, given how sky high new cars are these days, I still think a late model used vehicle is the most bang for your buck because you're missing a lot of that early depreciation. So I would say probably, you know, a 3 or 4 year old, you know, somewhere between 2 and 4 years old would probably be ideal in terms of a vehicle that's still going to give you a lot of the newer features and safety features in particular, you know, some of the bells and whistles you may be looking for, but where you're not paying, you know, top dollar. It's amazing what new cars are going for these days. So yeah, I am a fan of a newer used vehicle.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate your wisdom today.
All right. Thank you. And make sure you shop around. Use the internet as your friend, both to find that loan as well as to find the car. I figured out the car I wanted when last time I made a purchase. We scoured the internet for probably 30 days. I ended up buying a plane ticket to fly 3 states away to buy the vehicle and then drove it home just because we were able to save about $5,000. So just be willing to do your homework once you figure out what you're looking for, because a lot of times that can pay off. And we appreciate your call today very much, Lynn. Let's see. We'll head to Virginia next. Diane, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hi, I love your program. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
We were just listening recently about the I-bonds you were talking yeah. about, and we've heard about this before. I Googled it and said it says the interest rate is 9.6%, and, you know, it's $10,000 per individual.
That's right.
Here's my question. My husband is reluctant to invest in these because he says that the government is in such bad shape and in bad debt. How are we going to be guaranteed that we're going to get our money back?
Yeah. Well, you know, I agree with you that we have some challenges in this country and there's some real headwinds, I think, from a macro perspective longer term, just with regard to the aging of the workforce and the fact that we're not replenishing them. And we've got, you know, sky high debt in this country. And yet, if we're grading on a curve and comparing the U.S. to the rest of the world, we're in much better shape than the other economic powerhouses, Japan, China, and Europe. So I would say, you know, in terms of a credit risk today, the backing of the full faith and credit of the United States government is about as good as it gets, even though I understand where your husband's coming from. So I don't have any concern that the U.S. would default on this debt. Keep in mind, you're only committing to a year. And then if you pull it out after a year, but less than 5 years, you would just give up the last 3 months worth of interest as a penalty. But let's say you just kept it in there for 12 months and then pulled it out, you know, on $10,000, you're going to get roughly $962, although 6 months in, it will adjust. But let's just say it was nearly $1,000. And if you give up a little more than $200, you still got a great rate of return. So just given the alternatives, I still think this is a great investment, and I would put it in the lowest risk category, in my opinion, just given the time horizon we're talking about and backing of the U.S. government.
This helpful. Now, after a year, if I choose to keep it in, it gets the interest rate is adjusted according to inflation. Is that correct?
Yeah, it actually would be adjusted every 6 months based on every 6 month interval from the time you make that investment. So right now it'd be 9.62. That would last for the next 6 months. At that point, you would get the new prevailing rate, which we'll know in November. And that is based on CPI, the Consumer Price Index, which although it's come down slightly, it's still very elevated. And I would expect that new rate that we'll know come November, I would expect that'd be still very attractive.
Okay. And then this website said that by the end of 2023, they expected the inflation rate to be reduced to 2.3%. I don't think that sounds right.
I don't think we'll be there. We'll probably be in the 4 to 5% range, in my opinion, not 2. So this is a short-term opportunity, but for the next year, this is a great one. I like I-bonds a lot. Thanks for your call, Diane. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your calls, and Bob Dahl stops by here on MoneyWise. I'm Rob West. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Who says, remember when you were a kid and those words were an important part of your vocabulary? After all, you didn't want to listen to someone unless you knew that they had authority behind what they said. But when it comes to the Lord, the ultimate authority, we can know who has spoken to us. The Apostle John tells us these words in the first chapter of his gospel. The Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God the Son himself became flesh and lived among us. The Word is spoken to us with authority. Are you listening to him? Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministries' purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. We'll head back to the phones in just a moment at 800-525-7000. But first, our good friend Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. You can learn more and sign up for his weekly Dahl's Deliberations at crossmarkglobal.com. Bob, great to have you with us, my friend.
Happy Tuesday.
What to make of this market? You know, I know you had some comments out in your deliberations this week about the big surprise Thursday with the upside in equities following what was really a disappointing CPI report, right?
It is amazing how that horrible report led to, as you know, initially a big down move, then a huge swing from bottom in the futures to top. In the cash market, we had almost a 5% swing,
wow.
Unthought of for a day. That's how much volatility we are seeing. And then, of course, Friday, we were down the limit. And yesterday and today, we're kind of up the limit. This volatility is amazing. Thankfully, a little more of it on the upside and the downside recently.
Yeah, it sure seems like that's the case, Bob. Are you surprised at the positive earnings we're seeing, or are you still, is the jury still out kind of with those that have yet to report?
Well, I have a list of seven reasons why the market has taken this move to the upside, and one of the key ones is third quarter earnings. they're not as bad as expected. In some cases, they're good, especially in the banks. Now, it's still early in the reporting season, as you know, Rob, but the fears that many of us have had now for a couple of quarters so far unrealized, and that's giving the investors a cause to say, maybe I sold too many stocks.
Yeah. What would be number two and three on that list in terms of the biggest factors driving this market today?
The oversold, horrible sentiment reason. It's yeah. like when you take a ball and push it under the water and then release it. It pops.
Yes.
Sentiment has gotten so negative, markets tend to bounce. Doesn't mean we've made a low necessarily. So that's an important one. I would say right behind it is short covering. A lot of people short a lot of stocks, and when the market starts up, people scramble to cover those shorts, at least for a time.
Yeah. Bob, do you still think at the end of the day this is probably a bear market rally?
That's my guess. I mean, you have to pinch yourself every time we have one to say, was that the bottom? And yeah. clearly technicals, as we've said many times, are to be watched carefully. And they're looking a little better, not compelling yet, Rob, but they're looking a bit better. So I hope they develop such that I can turn around and say, you know what, that was the bottom. But not there yet. I still think it's a bear market rally.
Yeah. Although we're holding up still quite nicely with our own challenges here domestically, what is the picture looking like in terms of forward-looking economic outlook for the rest of the world?
Yeah, that's where some of the difficulty is, and that's back to the earnings comment. With growth slowing here and abroad, you would think that earnings expectations would be coming down some more. They're coming down, but not at the pace that many of us figured. And that still could be in front of us, Rob. And as many problems as we have here, as you hinted, go to Europe, go to China with the COVID lockdown. The economy is not good.
Yeah. Bob, what about the housing market? A lot of articles out lately just talking about how we've seen housing really take a pretty precipitous fall. We were up in the clouds a year ago. What is the outlook now?
So, as you know, mortgage rates have gone from, I'm going to exaggerate, not far from zero, up to kind of mid-single digits in a short amount of time. So it's taken activity and stopped it dead in its tracks. Activity levels are way off. Prices are down some, Rob, but not a lot. I suspect there's more price weakness to see in housing. And as long as mortgages are where we are and the threat of the Fed raising rates more, housing is going to stay in a slump. The interest-sensitive parts of the economy, housing being number one among them, are always the biggest swing factors to the downside, and then at the other end of the cycle to the upside.
All right, very good. Well, at the end of the day, Bob, we need to trust the Lord, stay focused on our long-term plan, but we always appreciate your insights and happy investing.
That's the best advice I've heard yet today. Keep it coming.
All right. God bless you, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more and sign up for his weekly Dahl's Deliberations, I'll get it right, at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, back to the phones we go here in our final moments of the broadcast. We perhaps have room for one more call, 800-525-7000. Daryl is in Houston, Texas. Daryl, how can I help you?
Daryl, how can I help you?
Hey, Daryl. You're a little muffled. See if you can move one direction or the other, reposition that phone, and let's try one more time. All right. I'm going to let Pat see if she can work with you to get that squared away. Let's head to Gary in Tennessee. Gary, what can I do for you? Gary, are you with us?
The lady that was looking for a used car.
Yes, sir.
Cautioned her on a car that maybe was water damaged from a flood in Florida.
Yes. Well, that's great advice, Gary. I'll tell you, whenever we're buying a car, especially if we're buying a, you know, a rental car from a rental car company, or we're buying from a particular part of the country that's, you know, had a natural disaster like a hurricane, need to be really careful in checking the Carfax history. And it may not even show up if, you know, something has happened very recently. So, yeah, I think that's why you want to do your due diligence online, Carfax.com, just to get the electronic history of the car. But then secondly, having any used car used cars checked out by an independent mechanic, I think, is critical as well. Gary, any other thoughts you have about how you might assess whether or not there's any cause for concern?
You got it. You got it right.
Okay, very good. Well, that's great advice, Gary. Thank you for being on top of that for our listeners today, sir. We appreciate you weighing in. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've covered a lot of ground today already on the program. Let's tackle a couple of emails that came in to us just recently. This next one has to do with how you improve your credit score. We heard from Gary. He said, "I'm not seeing my credit score rising as much as I'd like to. Am I missing something? Is there something else I could be doing?" And Gary, you know what? I think the key for credit scores is to understand that nobody can help you on that one in terms of don't ever pay anybody to try to quote unquote raise your score. Everything you can do on your own. What might be causing your credit score not to rise as quickly? Well, missed payments are going to be right at the top of the list. Be an on-time payer. The most recent information impacts you the most. So a missed payment today is more significant than a bankruptcy 5 years ago. So stay on time. Number one, number two, balance is too high. That speaks to credit utilization. That's your balance by account and in the aggregate versus your credit limit. Needs to be under 30% for sure, under 10% even better. Limited credit history. You don't have enough credit. That could certainly be weighing on you. That's just going to take time. Too many inquiries. Not you pulling your credit report to monitor your credit, but you authorizing a lender to pull a credit report on your behalf. That in the credit scoring algorithm says you're out seeking credit, which just based on all of the scores and reports means you're a higher credit risk. Try to keep those inquiries to a minimum. Only one type of account. Remember, there's different kinds of accounts. There's revolving accounts, which is like a credit card. There's installment accounts, like a car loan. There's mortgages. So you know, the credit scoring algorithm wants you to have different types of accounts. And then, of course, incorrect information. We should be pulling our credit reports at least twice a year. Quarterly is even better. And what you're looking for is erroneous or incorrect information that you can dispute. And by law, Fair Credit Reporting Act, the Bureau has 30 days to either verify it or delete it. But you want to make sure you get that incorrect information off your credit report. That's going to help you get that score up. At the end of the day, I'm less concerned about the score than I am you being out of debt and not paying any interest and getting money going in productive places like giving and long-term investments and savings. But we should be focused on that credit score. It's being used pretty widely these days for purposes beyond even verifying your credit worthiness. But I wouldn't let the tail wag the dog on this one. We should be mindful of it, but never go into debt or open an account specifically for just your credit score. And Gary, I hope that helps you, my friend. Well, we have covered a lot of ground today. Here's the big idea, folks. You know, as we think about handling God's money, and that's what it is. He's the owner. We're the manager. We're a steward of his resources. Money is then a tool to accomplish his purposes. The question is, how are we using it to do that? And are the money decisions we're making actually drawing us into a more intimate relationship with the Father as we invite him into our financial lives? Or is it drawing us away because we're taking our cues from the world and we're getting caught up in the comparison trap and we're living outside of God's provision and we're missing the blessing of being generous? You know, there's two kind of stark comparisons here. There's God's way and the world's way. And what we want to seek is God's way found in the Bible, those principles that we find throughout Scripture that we should hold it loosely and give it generously and really keep our eyes and minds fixed on the Lord, realizing that this world is temporary temporary, and we can use our resources to invest in the kingdom that is to come, heaven, once we place our trust in Jesus Christ. Well, I hope this program has been an encouragement to you today. You can do it. If you're in a difficult spot, don't lose heart. Trust in the Lord. His promises are true, and you can depend on them. Let me say thank you to my team today. Robert Sutherland providing great research today. Adam Suddeth filling in as our producer and engineer today, and Pat Montague handling our phones today as well. So thankful you were along with us today, and you enjoy the rest of your day. Hope you'll come back for our next program tomorrow. In the meantime, may God bless you. See you later.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.